12:40 a.m. WSBC. Yes. Welcome back, folks, to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour.
That's correct.
This show is presented to you by the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub. There's one in Beverly and another one here in Bridgeport, right in Chicago. Visit them both. Say hello to proprietor Billy Guidi. Tell them we sent you. Yep. Boxes, Beverly Pizza. Mm-hmm. Finest thin crust pizza on the south side of Chicago, right on Western Avenue.
Sizzling
tavern. Tavern thin. Cut. Thin, beautiful squares.
Lots of oil.
Yes. Foxes. Flood Brothers Disposal. When you're done with the Fox's box, you throw it out in the Flood Brothers can.
In the recycling bin.
Yes, we're conscious. Here we're green conscious here.
You could throw. Well, let's keep going.
Flood Brothers Disposal. Madden Funds.
Yep.
Have any money? You don't want to throw that in the garbage. You want to give it to the Maddens.
No, you. Yeah.
Let them make it grow for you.
Hopefully.
Absolutely. Yep. And Guinness Irish Stout. Guinness is good for you. My name's Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me to my left, as always, twin brother Billy.
Hello.
Billy?
Good to be here.
Very good to be here. Welcome back. It's post-Halloween episode. Got all Halloween-y last week.
It's over.
It is over.
We survived.
Yes, we did. We made it through. Kind of a little bit of a Halloween, like the day after, even though it's All Saints Day. The next day, November 1st.
Did you have a Halloween hangover?
A little bit. We had a lot of fun. It's Mikey's day. It's my son Mike's, this is Christmas for him.
Yeah.
We got the Michael Myers costume way in advance. He's been prancing around the house and that. I wouldn't say prancing, but sneaking up on me and stabbing me while I'm napping is quite disturbing. I'm hoping that phase ends soon. Killing dad phase.
Did he take any stabs at Jeff, the skeleton in the living room before you guys went out trick or treat? Hold on, let me stab this guy a few more times.
For our listeners, for the entire Halloween season, I did have a life-size skeleton sitting in the dining room that I did wake up from a nap a week ago, and Mike was stabbing in the ribs dressed as Michael Myers. Very disturbing thing to wake up from a nap. I said, hey, what's going on? He goes, nothing. Oh, nothing. I said, you're hurting Jeff. You were practically making out with Jeff a week ago, and now you're stabbing him, Anyway, fun Halloween. Wow. We went trick-or-treating. He wore the costume to school. Now, he's a younger guy, right?
Right.
And
lots of Michael Myers this Halloween.
Yeah, he was popular this year.
He was starting
to see maybe the PC culture is dying down, and or maybe parents are starting to let their kids be sadistic killers again.
Everybody was listening to the show, and they were like, "Oh, Mikey, Michael Myers. Well, yeah, that's a good idea."
I don't know. Anyway, he wore. You're not allowed to wear a mask at the grammar school to school.
I don't think we were either though when we were growing up.
I believe we were. I don't know
sure.
when that rule came into effect.
Maybe in the gymnasium for the parade,
Sure. Halloween parade.
Yeah, not in the classroom though. No mask in the classroom. But when everybody gets in that single file line and line into that gymnasium.
Yes, mask goes on.
Mask
now.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I missed the, I forgot that there even was one. I had a business lunch that day, and then when I picked up for trick-or-treating, Mike's like, yeah, you missed the parade, and I was like, oh, they did the school parade. I was like, I forgot all about that. I'm sorry, Mike. I know how special Halloween is to you. He's like, no, I didn't care. Because
he couldn't be
Michael Myers.
Oh my God.
A lot of people were like, are you a mechanic? because he just had, the blue mechanic. But the real horror enthusiasts were like, we know you are. You're Michael. You're just not wearing your mask yet.
Right.
You're maskless Michael Myers.
Yeah.
Because you can't be maskless Michael Myers and carry a bloody knife either. He had to go completely propless. So he was a propless Michael Myers during the day.
With no mask and just the mechanic
jumpsuit. Just the mechanic's jumpsuit,
Wow.
And then when school got over with, it was like mask on, going out now. And
time to slaughter candy.
Slaughter some candy. And we went and obviously Mike said, we visited a lot of the animatronic, set up homes, the homes that had all the elaborate decor.
Before
we met up with his buddies. Mike's of like, course. All right, let me go check these out, And we had already checked these out prior to Halloween. We've been by these, but he just wanted to see it in action. And he was curious to see the responses from the other kids in the neighborhood, Mm-hmm. He wants to see what scares them,
Right.
And he was like, he's judging the displays by how scared the children are, or apprehensive or nervous or clutching mom's hand a little tighter as they walk to the door.
Okay.
That's how Mike, that is, you know, that's his barometer for whether or not your display is worth anything.
So if three toddlers start crying at the sight of something, he's like, excellent.
Yes, he's like, it's working. Something has made them disturbed, you know. I give you, you know, a couple of stars now. Maybe not three or four stars, but two stars right away.
Okay.
You scared the three-year-old.
Yeah.
So we went and visited the animatronic houses. And then we went back over to Haley, my wife, who I'm separated from. We went to her house, right? Mm-hmm. And Mike had a lot of props there, but he didn't put them out on Halloween. He just wanted to put them out the day of Halloween. So he set up his spot.
On the lawn.
Yeah. We didn't get the fog machine out this year. Mike was like, let's do the fog, you know, but the jumping spider was a giant hit, and his talking skeleton was a big hit. So he was satisfied with that setup.
Did he have the werewolf out?
He had the werewolf out, the demonic werewolf with the red eyes that goes, barks at little kids. Yeah, that'll scare the hell out of him. That guy was going.
Oh, okay.
There's a little furry spider that has, you know, makes noises kind of. And when you get close to it, it jumps. You know, it's got an arm attached to it sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's confusing the listener, but yes, it jumps. It's a big jumping furry spider. That scares the dickens out of a lot of people. Anyway, Mike was satisfied. Then it was out. Then we got to go out, and we did the trick-or-treating. Okay. And we met up with his buddies, you know?
Sure.
And those guys were relatively, on par with, like, the safe Halloween costumes, you know? Two of his buddies were, they looked like the Cobra Kai guys when they're in the skeleton outfits, you know, those guys? So two of Mike's guys were those guys.
Yeah.
Except that they didn't have their faces painted. They just had a zippy hood, you know?
Yeah.
So they're skeletons.
Right.
Mike's Michael Myers. He's got the big knife with the
blood.
And
then he had, his other buddy a ninja?
His other buddy was a ninja, you know? So those guys,
it's kind of a wrecking crew, though.
It is. I mean, a ninja and two skeletons and Michael Myers show up on your doorstep. What do you do? You know?
You're in trouble.
What if Michael Myers was a ninja?
Wow.
Something to think about for the next film.
John Carpenter. Hey,
John Carpenter, Jackie Chan's playing the next Michael Myers. He's a ninja.
Wow. Just doing, you know, roundhouses to Jamie Lee Curtis?
I guess.
Michael, I'm still on to you. And he just all of a sudden does a sweeping roundhouse.
Sure, why not? Anyway, we went Halloween trick-or-treating. We went trick-or-treating, and it was a wild success. Not a lot. It would rain for a minute, and then it cleared up, and then it was real nice, beautiful autumn day, and I noticed the trick-or-treating wasn't as crowded as normal.
Really?
It just seemed a little more, you know, spaced out. You know, I'm used to seeing a bigger crowd of kids. Maybe that's just because my kids are getting older now, so those kids, like, we went to a party afterwards at one of the other parents' house. Mm-hmm. One of Mikey's buddies' parents had a bunch of people over, and that was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids, like, they had Halloween out of their system. Now they're just enjoying the, you know, the house party, and they're running around.
The za, the pop.
The pizza, the apple cider, the whole deal, you know? And then at the end of the night, we went home, and Mike and I agreed that we would watch John Carpenter's Halloween together.
Mm-hmm.
And we did.
Uh-huh.
And I loved it. I haven't seen it in like 30 years. Like, as much as Mikey, my Mikey was so enamored with that figure for the last month.
Well,
Myers.
I came downstairs into your place to check out the loot and stash.
Yeah.
And he said, as I was leaving, I heard him go, Dad, Halloween's going to be on in about 5 minutes. Can we watch it, please?
Yep.
Good. You granted him that wish.
I did grant him that wish. I thought it was, and only because he's already seen all the stuff on YouTube. You know, it's like I'm preventing my kid from seeing a movie, like, and my kid's walking, but I'm letting him walk around with the Michael Myers mask and have a bloody blade in his hand, you know?
Yeah.
Mike has a great question. Our engineer, Mike Sarkowski. No nightmares for Mikey. I was worried about that. No, he doesn't seem to get them.
I didn't have any nightmares on Halloween either.
No, that's good.
No.
Did you have reason to have a nightmare?
I mean, there could be lots of reasons. I didn't win the lottery. You know, I eat too much.
That's a nightmare. You're just saying that your life is a nightmare.
Can be sometimes.
No. You know, one place where it's never a nightmare.
Never.
The Cork and Carry Irish Pub.
I've heard this.
You should go there and say hello to Billy Guidy and say, cure me of my nightmares.
Stop the nightmare.
Mr. Guidy, the Houlihan's told me you'll cure me of my nightmares.
Uh-huh.
pour me something special. And he'd say, you know what? You got it.
Yep.
We'll be back after these messages.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by to Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Don't touch that dial. The Hooli's Hooli returns in just a moment.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Hey listeners, I know we don't talk about finance much on this show, outside maybe the amazing Bitcoin the Musical, which we currently have in development. But I do want to take a moment and tell you about two brothers who make this show possible and why you should consider having an honest conversation with them about the future of your finances. Mike and Dan Madden are the brains behind Madden Funds. They've been lifelong friends to Bill Clay and me, and we entrust the Maddens with our money and the precious donations of our listeners so we don't let outrageous ideas get the best of us. And you should too. Do yourself a favor and reach out to Dan or Mike Madden today to book a consultation on the future of your finances. If you have questions about your financial future or current situation, give them a call. The number is 708-848-3200. Again, that number is 708-848-3200. Or you can visit their website, Madden Funds, at www.maddenfunds.com. Again, www.maddenfunds.com.
Yeah, you do, Bill.
That's yeah, man.
Welcome back, everybody. Hooli's Hooli. You came back down to my apartment looking for candy. You wanted to, you were
well,
interested
I just
in
wanted
seeing
to
the
see what they got. Like, yeah. give me the loot, you know? Let me see what you guys got. Mikey was very proud of the full-size candy bars, just as everybody else does. You know, you sort them out. We didn't have that many full sizes when I was growing up.
No. Those are like, there's Halloween people. There's the grown-up Mikeys of the world that, you know, they're the ones that have all the animatronics, and they love Halloween, and they're the ones who reward the children. They like seeing their faces get all big when they get a big candy surprise.
Big candy bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like seeing the Billy on their face, right?
Yeah. There was kind of a Halloween letdown the next day, though. You know, Mikey's still, you know, the day after Halloween, the Michael Myers costume was put on again.
And I came downstairs and I was like, he's in the mechanic suit again.
Yeah. And he grabbed the outfit, you know, and grabbed the iPad and watched a couple of Halloween videos. But he said to me, Dad, you know, I'm still thinking that I want, you think Santa Claus would bring me Pinhead for Christmas? I'm like, man, are there any other
the
kids?
The thought of Santa Claus and Pinhead hanging out together, like in a bar, like imagine Santa Claus going, it's been rough, you know, she's good to me, and, you know, she does all these things and helps me out, and Pinhead's like, just get rid of her.
Who? Who is this woman you speak of? Mrs. Claus?
Yes. Pinhead's bad-mouthing Mrs. Claus.
Man, you just wrote something weird in your head for yourself and just...
Like a bar, like Pinhead and Santa Claus hanging out at the corner end of a dive bar.
I got it.
And, yeah, okay, just making sure.
What were we talking about? Mikey wants Pinhead for Christmas. Yeah. He's showing me, and he goes on, he's smart enough to go on eBay now, and like, he looks, he's like, look, there's a Pinhead on eBay.
Yeah.
A Pinhead, a life-size doll of Pinhead from Hellraiser. With a guy with nails sticking out of his head, holding a cube in his hand.
I've actually never seen Hellraiser.
I've never watched Hellraiser either.
Maybe we should watch it and do a Hellraiser review.
I've always been kind of scared of Hellraiser.
Hellraiser weirded me out, too.
Yeah, like Hellraiser, like that's a bad dream, Hellraiser. You know, any guy with nails in his head yelling at you is not a comfortable sight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to die now. And you're like, you have 80 nails in your head. What are you talking about? You know?
Did Carpenter do Hellraiser?
No, I don't know who made Hellraiser.
Do you think the guy that did Hellraiser at one time worked on a construction site and just had a bald boss that he just wanted to fire nails into his head?
You mean the guy who conceptualized Hellraiser?
Yes.
You think the guy who did Hellraiser, he did it. You know, he did it hard. Do you think you think he had a boss who was bald and he wanted to fire nails in his head? And that's where he came up with the idea?
Maybe.
Clive Barker made Hellraiser. Thank you, Mike. Yeah. I don't know, Bill.
I'll have to ask Mr. Barker.
Anyway, Mikey wants
no relation to Travis Barker, I don't think.
I don't think
so.
No relation. Although, wouldn't that be wild? That'd be a Halloween twisted story.
What if Travis Barker looked like Pinhead? Well, do you think Kourtney Kardashian would still marry him if he looked like Pinhead?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, probably.
I think she, you know, love is blind. Love is blind. There's a woman for a Pinhead out there, believe me.
There's a Jack for every Pinhead. Mm-hmm.
Are there any females?
There's a Jack
that have...
and a Jill for everyone, right? But there's, I'd botch that.
Are there any females that have a Pinhead fetish? We'll be taking calls for the next 20 minutes.
We'd love to hear.
Question of the night. If you search Reddit, scour the net.
If you're one of our 10,000 listeners.
If you're one of the 10,000 listeners that happens to have a Pinhead fetish, we'd like to hear from you soon.
I'd like to examine your head.
Mm-hmm. Mikey wants Pinhead for Halloween. I'm like, you know, like, or for Christmas. He's showing me all the prices of it, you know? And I'm like, I'm wondering, you know, and he's like, do you think Santa Claus would get this for me? You know, and I'm like, I don't know, Mike. You know, like, Santa Claus stands for things good and wholesome. You know, he's not...
Right, not evil.
Right. It's like, I don't think Santa Claus gives people guns or knives or torture devices or anything like that for
Christmas. Depends on how some people view Santa Claus.
Sure, it does, Bill. But like, he's not a giver of things that are going to potentially hurt you or your soul. You know, I think
well,
in
the Christian mindset of Santa Claus.
Yes.
No. But if you're just, I don't study religion, and I think Santa needs to get him a pinhead. There's okay. guys out there.
Yeah, there are.
Okay.
You've made your point.
Keep the religion out of Christmas. Get the kid the pinhead.
On the next episode of the 700 Show, Bill and Pat Robertson will discuss pinhead.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine that?
Right. Hey, Pat, I don't think Santa buys kids pinheads or anything evil for you know, or maybe he does.
Anyway, yeah.
I don't know. Mikey's telling me, he goes, you know what? I think we should. I go, Mike, I don't know. Pinhead's $900. You know, I go, these are.
$900?
Yeah, these life-size animatronics. I'm like, what are we going to do? If Santa Claus brings you an animatronic, Mike.
Yeah.
Where are we going to store this thing? Like, I don't have space for this.
You're going to keep Pinhead in the closet?
You know, yeah, as much as I think your hobby for staging and, you know, like, let's pivot now. I feel like now I got to teach Mike how to use the camera in some way, right?
Okay.
Because I can see him. I can see his brain working, right? He wants to start making stuff.
Right.
And so he, you know, he's like, because he wants to have a big, elaborate display on our lawn at some point, right?
Right. Yeah.
He wants to turn it into, like, his own haunted house, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm aware.
And I'm like, okay, I'm like, you know what, maybe you do a GoFundMe campaign for yourself, right?
Oh, create my own Halloween?
Yeah, you're like, I'm aiming to have the greatest, you know, Halloween block party corner in our township next year.
Can you help me with this?
Yeah, here's what I'm looking to get. I need to get so much, my goal is to get this pinhead, this, I'll have hot dogs there on Halloween, I'll have a fog machine. And, you know, we'll take admission and we'll give money to first responders, the cops and firemen across the street.
Okay. Oh. So now we're incorporating Pinhead in with the good guys.
That's right. And that's what you got to do.
He's not a Hellraiser. He's just a good guy, that Pinhead, right?
When he's used for purposes like that, I'm looking over at our producer, Mike, right now. He's scouring eBay for life-size Pinhead dolls. There's
$3,000.
Three G's. Imagine telling your wife you spent $3,000 on a Pinhead doll.
Honey, we're not going to Jamaica. I bought the Pinhead.
Right. No, what do you mean? Well, I didn't go to Vegas. I didn't lose the money in Vegas. I succumbed to my Pinhead fetish again and unfortunately purchased a $3,000 life-size doll. It'll be arriving in the mail next Thursday. I'm hoping to keep it in the bedroom, if that's fine.
Wow. Did you think that Pinhead likes candy?
Do I think Pinhead likes candy?
Yeah, Mike gave me an M&M's Ghouls mix, it says on it.
Our producer, Mike, handed you. Yeah, it's an M&M's Ghouls mix candy.
Yeah, I'm going to open them up.
You going to try it?
So I had these Skittles, and there's also Sour Patch Kids, the Halloween version. Oh, mm-hmm. These are, you know, these are all orange.
Yeah, well, they're Halloween themed.
I'm eating one. I mean, they're the same thing.
It's not any sort of special M&M. It's
just
a different color.
Maybe you get something weird. Ghouls mix, but no, it's just a different color.
And what are the colors?
Snickers has one that's green right now. I had one of those.
A green Snickers?
Yeah, they had some green in the nugget.
Ooh.
The Snickers.
The nougat? Like,
yeah, the nougat, whatever it is. I took a rip on one that my friend Pete's wife, girlfriend gave me.
Yeah.
There it is, the ghoulish green.
Snickers ghoulish green.
Those
Hashtag
are good.
Snickers ghoulish green.
Those are good. Had its Skittles, too, that were... Sour Patch Kids has ones that they're like orange and grape.
All right.
Theirs.
Yeah.
Those are good. Skittles wasn't bad either. Skittles had like tropical flavors and some of the... I don't know what you call the purple bag for Skittles, like the wild berries.
Yeah, those are the wild berries.
They had some wild berries, some original, and some tropical.
That's good.
Mixed in for their Halloween one. That was fun.
Good. Listen, you said something to me in the car on the way over here.
Yeah.
I'm going, what are we going to talk about on the show? What happened to you this week? You said you saw something weird.
Well, I didn't see something weird. I heard something weird.
Let's hear it. What is it?
I had a friend of mine who was a bartender.
You got, don't eat the M&Ms while you're about to tell the story. You're about to tell a story. You're popping the ghoulish whatever M&M's in your mouth.
All right. So she says, oh, there's like a bunch
You have a friend who's a bartender.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of people like standing around. And she's like, oh, I had this really, I had to break up with this guy. And we're like, what happened, you know? She said his nose smelled.
His nose smelled?
His nose smelled. And I went, I go, what do you mean? She goes, he has a big nose.
Uh-huh.
And it smelled. What do you mean? I mean, did he have like halitosis where it was like, you know, something coming out of the nostrils that caused it to smell?
Halitosis is the medical term for bad breath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said no. She said his nose smelled. Have you ever heard anything like that?
I've never heard of it. Maybe, Mike has a good nose. Sinus infection can make your nose smell?
Wow, we didn't think of that. A sinus infection would make your nose stink. Okay. Would doing too much cocaine make your nose stink too, probably?
Well, you were in a bar.
Yes. So I don't know what kind of gentleman this guy was. I just know that his nose stunk, according to a bartender. And we were like, and there were a bunch of us sitting there and going, well, what does that mean? You know, like,
it means that when you went up to kiss him, his nose smelled and it was unbearable.
I was
for
like,
you.
His breath didn't stink. She's like, no, just his nose. So, like, as she got close to him and maybe their noses were touching?
Yes. You know? No Eskimo kissing to that guy.
Absolutely no Eskimo.
He's got a hellraiser of a nose.
And then I asked the question. I said, well, maybe he's just a monster brown nose.
Oh.
And that went right over their head.
Oh, the total joke went, yeah.
I went, you didn't get the brown nose joke? Yeah. That why his nose would stink?
You want Billy to break down what brown nose means?
Right.
Where the termination came from?
The termination? I didn't know people were getting fired. You mean the terminology?
Thank you.
People are going to get fired after they listen to this show, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, we might get fired.
Yeah.
We're going to come up with some more topics soon.
I know.
I was going to go to a commercial, or not to a commercial, I was going to play a song from Sarah Hand, one of our producers.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, I got a song for you. It's from my childhood youth.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's Republica.
Oh.
Ready to go. Remember this song?
Vaguely.
I bet this is the way the guy with the smelly nose feels. He's ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Your wish until tonight, let's fall.
Yes. Baby, I'm ready,
I'm ready to go.
Right, I love you, but your nose smells horrible. Baby, I'm ready to go.
Yep. Has no stunk.
And get a new apartment and a new life and money and a hotter boyfriend. Baby, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Republica. Yeah, I remember that song well. That's from my MTV youth, kind of, if I remember correctly, some of that.
Yeah, I don't know what year that came out.
Thank you, Sarah Hand, for suggesting such a rip right there. It was a nice rip.
Yeah, it was.
The Sox have a new manager, Chicago White Sox.
Pedro!
What's his full name, Bill? Pedro what?
Pedro Grifol, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you watch the press conference? I actually caught it.
I did not. I was working today. I missed it. But I heard some background interviews about it. Well, about who he is. It's got a nice background. We'll see.
A lot of people are upset about it. I think people were, I don't think anyone was going to get pleased in this situation. I don't think the entire fan base was going to unify behind anybody.
The Sox are, we've already known now that.
Some people are mad Ozzie Guillen didn't get hired. Some people are mad.
I wanted Ozzie personally.
Do you think AJ Pierzynski even interviewed for the job?
No.
Was that even reported?
I don't
think
he
did. There's still Sox fans on, you know, on web pages and trolling all over, you know, Facebook and Twitter, like saying that Pierzynski should have been hired, right?
He's never managed. He hasn't even, I don't think he's been a bench coach anywhere or coach, you know, they're like,
I don't think the Sox are ready to make that kind of gamble.
They
on
did
a team
with
this
Robin
kind of
Ventura
payroll.
Once, and it did not work.
Yeah. So they brought in this guy, Pedro. Actually, I watched the press conference.
He's a baseball man, from what I've been told. And, you know, every organization that's worked with
him. Well, you hope he's a baseball man. You don't want to have a football guy as your baseball manager.
You know what I mean? Like, there's retired players, and there's current players, and they're just nobody really has anything awful to say about him.
Right.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, he was never a major leaguer. He was a career minor league player.
Yeah.
He's held a lot of different jobs. He's been in the front office. He's been, you know, a scout and worked in development.
Bench coach. He's been a hitting coach. He's been. He's done all kinds of different stuff. Yeah, he's worked in front office jobs. I think he was in the front office.
And he's bilingual. And he's a communicator. And that was what, during today's press conference, he's of Cuban heritage. Thank you, Mike. Good note, right?
Yeah.
We have a lot of Cuban players. He's a Floridian.
Yeah.
We have a heck of a lot of Cuban players. He's a great communicator. And I think that's what Rick Hahn and the White Sox were looking for more than anything.
Yeah.
And that's what was stressed today, was that we need a guy who's younger, who's going to be able to communicate and stroke the players in the environment of what today's game has evolved to, right?
Correct.
As much as they love Ozzie Guillen, right, I'm not sure the players of today would respond to the personality of an Ozzie Guillen.
Maybe.
Great communicator, Ozzie.
Yeah.
But Ozzie's not going to stroke a player.
No,
at all.
No.
You know? And I think that the sensitivity level of these players, and they're talking about empathy. All the managers all of a sudden is like, he's empathy. And it's like, empathy? I've never heard that used before in professional sports. Like, now the manager's supposed to have empathy for the players that are making bazillions of dollars to play baseball?
Well, you have to remember that most of these players are younger millennials. Like, they didn't grow up, you know, like, they weren't part of the generation where it's like, take a seat, you stink.
Right. Your nose smells. You're fired.
Your nose smells. You're fired.
Right.
You know, well,
you have to say your nose is, its fragrance is a bit off. I think we can scrub it or try to work on it together.
Yeah. Take a back seat.
Right. That's the equivalent of what Pedro is going to do for the White Sox.
Let's hope so.
He's not going to yell at you on Moncada and go, dude, you suck. Stop wearing yellow stuff. Our colors are black and white. You cannot be flashy.
I will not
have hot dogs on the team. You suck.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't?
I don't think that the manager is going to tell these guys how they can, what kind of batting gloves they can wear or anything like that. I don't think these guys are professional athletes that get paid too much money. I don't think the manager is going to do anything like that now.
Why? I think that's part of the problem. Like, that's the egos. So then other players on the field see that and they're like, eh. You know, like, I think it's the equivalent of, like, the guy who makes a lot of money and goes and buys the nicest car he can and then drives around town. Like, look at me, right? Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about Johan Moncada. Like, I mean, he's angry
because he had a terrible season.
He had a terrible season, and we let him go, and I haven't heard any talk about him at all. It's like, I think he's a cancer on the club. Like, you got to get rid of that guy. And do you think that this Pedro is going to come in and make some big moves? I have a feeling the winter meetings could be quite interesting.
I do, too. I don't think the White Sox are done by any means doing a little restructuring, what they're looking for. But who knows? They've gotten rid of Joe McEwen's gone.
Yep.
Frank Menachino's gone. Their hitting coach. No word yet on what's going to happen with Miguel Cairo, but they've hired Charlie Montoya to be the bench coach. Abreu is a huge question mark. Thank you, Mike. It's still, you know, this is just the beginning. But the White Sox have a new manager, Pedro Grifol.
Yeah.
And the Bears are in full rebuild mode. That's gone down. I'm very happy about it, to tell you the truth.
About the Bears? I was happy about the deal, too. People were like, we traded Roquan. I was like, good!
He would have cost a third of what our salary cap would want next year. And it's like, he's 5 years into the league. We might get, okay, maybe you get another 5 years out of him. He's peaked, though. This is it. Like, I don't know. I feel like drafting offensive linemen and things like that. And
we got a lot of picks coming up. Like, that's I
believe they're down to 8 now instead of 9. They had 9 and then they
gave one up.
And then they gave one up, the second rounder, to the Pittsburgh Steelers for Claypool.
But we picked up Claypool, which is a good pickup. That's a smart pickup on the Bears. Like, he's a proven receiver. He's a young guy. He's only like 3 or 4 years into his contract.
He's into believe his fourth year of his rookie deal.
All right, fine. Yeah. And he's number 2 in the league in like inside throw, like small window catches. All right, he's second in the league in small window catches. Justin Fields has proven to be a point or a type of lateral passer of sorts, where a guy like Claypool enhances his game significantly.
They're not going to. Claypool doesn't have to learn the playbook at all. He's just got to be a deep threat for him. That's it. They're not. This is not like a. The Bears are pretty much. They're laying it down here. We stink. We got our butts kicked in Dallas. The offense looks good. We'll give him Claypool. We'll see how he reacts. Because apparently, from what I hear, is Luke Getsky's system, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, is quite complicated to learn right off the bat. So from what the experts are telling me, they're looking for Claypool to just be kind of a deep threat guy, kind of get open on his own if Fields is scrambling, and then we'll work from there.
Gotcha.
Because the offensive line stinks. That's if Fields doesn't get killed before he can throw the ball. But that's Chicago sports pretty much in a nutshell. What's going on right now, right? Blackhawks. Yeah.
Bulls look okay. Kind of excited about them.
And then we saw a no-hitter in the World Series.
Which is wild. This, first of all, I'm pulling for the Phillies. I'm just going to be flat out about that.
I think everybody has been.
No, some people, you know, I had a buddy tell me the other day that he's like, yeah, I like Dusty. I want to see Dusty get one, you know?
Okay.
Dusty's been in the league so long that, like, yeah, it would be nice for, and I'm shocked that Dusty doesn't have one. He's just always missed it by a year or so with different clubs that he's managed.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know.
You know, even with the toothpick, I never understood the toothpick with Dusty or the, like, the black rubber glove that he wears.
Uh-huh.
What is that all about?
I don't know. That's his shtick, you know? Yeah. Anyway, there are people out there rooting for Houston that are not from Houston. They want to see Dusty win it. Maybe some more old Cub fans that, you know, liked Dusty when he was here and, like, people like that.
Sure.
But I can't. Like, they still seem like cheaters to me. Like, I can't get it off my – I can't – there's just a sense of disgust with them. Like, that's probably going to last until
– You know what, though?
Remnant of that team is eradicated.
You can call them cheaters all you want. This is their third World Series in, like, what, 5 years?
Yeah, no, at this point, they're a dynasty. They're a dynasty. They got Verlander. I mean, they're loaded.
They didn't have Verlander when they went the first time.
No, but like, I mean, you know? they have been loaded, and they haven't actually had to reload much. They've lost high caliber players.
Correa and, like, you know, they're still there. Yeah.
And so to watch the Phillies come out and pound Lance McCullers the other night.
Yeah, that was fun.
Was crazy fun. The amount of home runs that were hit. Dude, Schwarber. Like, the Cubs must be – is Schwarber going to make the Hall of Fame?
We had this conversation.
Or... We did have this conversation, but I was thinking about it all of a sudden. When I saw him go yard in the World Series game the other night in Game 3, he just hit a bomb, like a 420-foot bomb to center off of McCullers in the World Series. How the Cubs could not have seen that this guy – like, I can't believe the Sox passed on him. Like, this guy is just an amazing success story in baseball.
49 home runs this year.
49! And he has 200-plus career home runs at this point. He's got a World Series title under his belt, and he's a DH. If Harold Baines made Cooperstown, this guy, if he hits 60 or 70 more home runs,
no,
that's a strong case.
I think he's got to hit 150 to 200. I think he's got.
You think he's got to hit 300 home plus
400.
400 home runs. So you think if he gets to 400, that's what does him, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, he's only what 6 or 7 years in the league, Schwarber. So if he can play 14 years and hit 400 home runs, he's in.
And there's one other thing he's got to do.
What's that?
He's got to make sure his nose doesn't smell.
Oh. Nobody's nose better be smelling if you're going to win some championships.
No. We're going to take a commercial break. More Hooli's Hooli after these.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery. Or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
When your family has suffered a loss, the Sheehy family will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated many years of their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the Southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted Street in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. The four provided a personal service that became a foundation for success. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. As a family-owned and operated funeral home, the Sheehys believe the one thing that separates them from the others is the personal service they can provide. The name on their sign outside the funeral home should mean something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. The Sheehy's entire staff consists of individuals who care about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Arrico, and John Sullivan, and all of their other staff take great, great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. The Sheehy's pride themselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family they serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Hang in there. We're almost ready for some more of the Hooli's Hooli. Stay tuned.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Hey, listeners, I know we don't talk about finance much on this show, outside maybe the amazing Bitcoin the Musical, which we currently have in development. But I do want to take a moment and tell you about two brothers who make this show possible and why you should consider having an honest conversation with them about the future of your finances. Mike and Dan Madden are the brains behind Madden Funds. They've been lifelong friends to Bill Clay and me, and we entrust the Maddens with our money and the precious donations of our listeners so we don't let outrageous ideas get the best of us. And you should too. Do yourself a favor and reach out to Dan or Mike Madden today to book a consultation on the future of your finances. If you have questions about your financial future or current situation, give them a call. The number is 708-848-3200. Again, that number is 708-848-3200. Or you can visit their website, Madden Funds, at www.maddenfunds.com. Again, www.maddenfunds.com.
Yes, it does.
The love stinks.
Why'd you break up with him?
Well, his nose smelled.
Yeah. Ugh.
Love stinks.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
That's yeah.
A nice little bump.
But Mike
there.
Did let me know that maybe the gentleman had has a sinus infection. So,
yes.
You know, there it is. I thought maybe it could have been. I said maybe it stinks because he's got something going gastrointestinal going on, seeping through his sinus.
Well, that would be complications from a sinus infection, you know?
Maybe.
Listen, folks, human bodies or orifices, they have the tendency to carry odors.
Yeah, I would imagine if you stuck your nose in someone's ear, it would have an interesting smell.
Hey, listen up, class. Human orifice equals long without cleaning equals stink. Love. Love stinks. Yeah. I'm eating my lunch now.
If you don't tender it and keep it clean and nice to it, it stinks in the end.
It stinks, especially if you got a Hellraiser doll in the bedroom at night, you know? Puts a kink in the relationship, if you know what I mean.
Sure does.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome back. Oh, prior episodes, right?
This show's extremely episodic. I gave in and I let my daughter Charlotte go to Great America.
Ah, yes.
Without me.
Six Flags, Great America, right?
It's the only one I know. Yes.
For our national audience, just kind of letting them know what Six Flags is.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know if they're all, it's Six Flags everywhere, right?
Isn't there's some parks? Throughout the country, yes.
Yeah. Mike has a note. It was Fright Fest. Yes, it was. Which is, and I bought Charlotte, so I caved, is what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
The day before, Charlotte calls me again and goes, okay, we're going. I'm like, I didn't say I was going to drive you guys out there. She's like, oh, well, we found a ride. One of her girlfriend's fathers was going to drive all these girls out there. There were only four of them.
All right, that's better.
And I was like, all right. And then I was going to be the pickup man. Please, everyone, have your phone charged. Stick together. No strangers. You know, you have to give that speech.
Yeah.
But I'm trying not to be a helicopter parent. And
situation, you have to be.
A little bit, but she's getting older and like... We did stuff like that. I don't remember if we went to Hades or wanted to go to things like that.
The Odeum. We never made it to the Odeum.
No, but
we just made it over to Amblin's for their haunted house.
I'm trying to be less of a helicopter parent. I was like, all right, let me think about this. And I spoke to Haley about it, my ex. She was like, yeah, what do you think? And I was like, well, I have all these concerns, but you know, I guess it's much easier for me to make these decisions if I know the other girl's parents. And Charlotte's at an awkward age where her friend group seems to change on a daily basis.
Like you don't know if she's going with Pinhead's daughter or not.
Yes, I don't. I don't know, you know? And so, and I have to check in and say, can I speak to Edward Pinhead, please? And I know he lives over
Pinhead.
I know you're over on Oak Street, Mr. Pinhead. I'm Charlotte's dad.
You're going to be driving? Everything going to, you know?
The girls aren't going to hell, are they?
What's your moral curve look like? What are your boundaries?
Mr. Pinhead.
Anyway, I'd let her go. After speaking to some of the other parents over text message, I was like, all right, yeah, you guys can go. I'll pick you up. So I went. I picked them up, and I was supposed to pick them up at 10:30. Or I was supposed to pick them up at 10.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I'm like, oh, I got to get there. And I'm worried about my car on long-distance drives like that. Like, that's a long haul, you know?
Come on.
Well, my car's been in the shop so many times this year. It's a real, you know, it's a nice car, but it's been turned out to be a real lemon, you know?
Certain things, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I haven't tested the car in a while. I hope we can, like, I don't want to be the parent on the hook who, and their kids get stranded at Fright Fest in Gurnee, you know? Yeah. Like an hour away from where we live.
They all get in the car and it goes,
yeah.
Should I start it?
Right.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so anyway, I before I left, you know, my whole night was being mentally prepared about it.
Right.
I leave, and I get all the way to the expressway, and I have a gurgler, okay?
Well,
go home.
Hold on. I was watching Mikey, and it's like 2.5 hours, 3 hours have gone by.
Well, it takes an hour to get out there.
I'm like, where is this guy?
And an hour to get back.
It's almost midnight. And I'm like, where is he? And finally I call him. He goes, oh, we're fine. We're in the car. We'll be home in about 5 minutes. He gets upstairs and I go, hey, 3 hours. I thought you were going to be gone for two. And he goes, I had a gurgler.
Yeah.
I went, what? I said, you didn't call me after your gurgler?
No, why do I have to call the babysitter about my gurgler?
You should always call the babysitter about your gurgler.
Yeah, okay, maybe. Anyway, Mike, I'm going to address things to Mike right now.
Because you don't want to speak to me.
Because you're just going off on tangents. And you're going, you're going to have a gurgler. You got to call me. You got to call the babysitter about your gurgler.
You should.
On my way out there, I had to use the bathroom, and I was like, I'm going to have to go home because of what happened in prior episodes. You can go back, listeners, if you go to archives, you can find out all about
it. I get it.
I pooped my pants earlier this summer, and it was rather traumatic as a 42-year-old man, and I'm trying to prohibit myself from being in that situation again. So any sort of rumble of any kind deserves immediate attention from now on. And I thought, I'm putting all these scenarios in my head before I drive out to Six Flags, like, If I picked up my daughter and her friends
in the car with
her and her dad pooed his pants in the car, like she, you know, that's it for life for me and for Charlotte. We'd have to move out of town, you know, like it's over, you know. So I had to turn around.
Gurgler on the run, man.
Yes, and I was late picking them up to that Great America, but the car did make it, and the girl seemed to have a wonderful time. And
did you skid back to your place like someone running from Pinhead?
No, not at all. Although the girls were like,
what's scarier, Pinhead or a gurgler?
At my age? Well, I know that Pinhead is fictitious. Gurglers are very real.
Yes, they are.
They're very real.
They can be violent, too.
And both cause nightmares.
Brown ones.
Yes. If I'm going to say gurgler or Pinhead, I say gurgler. Gurgler wins. You know?
Yeah.
Hit the bell for gurgler.
Well, that'll scare you out of Halloween. There you
go. Yes, gurgler wins. the girls came back. Listen, I'm looking at that Fright Fest. It was a bunch of, like, when I'm picking everybody up, it's just a line of parents like me. They're all picking up their kids. Clearly, it's like a mixer, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I would equate it to. It's like a mixer where all these kids could, you know, and all the girls are talking about cute boys they saw online, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, I get what this is.
Did you see the guy with the Bieber t-shirt? Oh, you know?
Yes. The guy with the Bieber t-shirt.
I don't know. What are teenage boys wearing?
I don't know. That's something we'll have to Google at a later date. What are teenage boys wearing these days? What an odd. Callers, if
you make a new horror movie, do you make the first scene of the movie Pinhead killing a kid in a Bieber t-shirt?
Maybe. Callers, we're canceling. The phone lines are closed now for the Pinhead fetish question. New question, what are teenage boys wearing lately?
God.
The phone lines are open for the next 4 minutes. We'd love to know.
Oh, boy.
So that's what the whole trip, you know. No, they didn't say that they spotted any hot guys in Bieber t-shirts.
Oh, okay.
But that's it, it did turn out to be a mixer of sorts. Oh, that's yeah. what I equated it to. And there were a lot of, like, kind of frustrated moms in line, like, come on, hurry up! It's 10:30. I got to get the Powerball. I want to see what the Powerball results were. No, I don't think they were like, no.
No?
I want to get back to my wine. It's 1 o'clock. Come on, it's Friday. It's 1 o'clock. I want to get home and drink my wine.
Yeah. Oh, it was wine o'clock.
I think Charlotte's friends find me amusing, which I think is funny. I don't try to be funny in front of them. I think that they think that my natural sensibilities are amusing to them.
Sure.
I think it's because I don't act. I think I speak to them in a very candid way and don't speak to them in the way that most parents do, mm-hmm. where they feel talked down to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's from having a radio program or learning to try to train my ear to be a better listener.
Yeah.
That I kind of get, and I'm not trying to get on their level in any way, but if they say things stupid, I will lampoon it and then they get a kick out of that, right?
Well, you didn't tell them you were having a gurgler before you got there.
I could have, and if I had digressed that to them, I'm sure they would have been very amused by it until I fought it. Then not so funny anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what. What do you think would have smelled worse, that guy's nose or your fart?
It depends what I would have eaten the day before.
Yes, it would have.
But anyway, everyone got disgusting. Back home. Everybody got back home safe. They all wanted me to take them to McDonald's.
Oh,
I'm like, no. They're like, I'm already 80 in the hole on this, and the ticket, I asked the girls, like, none of them bought, there's like an extra additional fee to go through the Fright Fest portion of Great America. None of them wanted to pay for it or do it. And I was like, what's the point? I thought you guys were going out here for Fright Fest. And they're like, no, they're going out there just to feel like teenagers and be left alone.
Of course.
And without parental supervision in a public place where they can mingle amongst other people their
mm-hmm.
age. It's like Lollapalooza for eighth graders. You know, that's what I like equated it to.
Sure.
Except there was no Molly or anything like that.
Molly.
No nudity, no Molly, no smelly noses, no smelly orifices, nothing of the nature. No pinhead dolls, nothing, zero. Actually, there were probably pinhead dolls at the Great America thing.
There was a pinhead somewhere.
Mikey was kind of, he was disappointed. He was like, wait, you didn't even look at the scary stuff, you know? Charlotte's like, I got chased by a goblin, but there was, and I was like, what?
Chased by a goblin?
Yeah, there's guys who dress up as goblins and walk around. Maybe if I ever completely bust out, I know that I can go be a goblin at Fright Fest and amuse myself in some capacity.
Yeah.
We're at the end.
We are.
If you've enjoyed the last hour of this program, folks, you can go to hibernianradio.org and find archives, or you can go to iTunes and find us there at Hooli's Hooli Show.
Mm-hmm.
Want to thank our sponsors again, Cork and Kerry Irish Pub,
yep.
Fox's Beverly Pizza, Flood Brothers Disposal, Guinness Irish Stout, yeah. Guinness is good for you, and Madden Funds. Until next week, what are we going out with here, Mike?
Get out of my car. Ocean.
Billy?
Bye.
Well, Halloween's over. On to the holidays with a little Billy Ocean. Till next week.